Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Now clear your middle heart.
Thank you.
Just hang up on me.
Really? I know. I'm not hearing you.
Softens it. It's sexy.
Why am I not hearing you?
Sounds like we're...
Welcome to Weavesday Wednesday. Well, we're live, and that was bizarre. Our little intro didn't go, I don't think. So, well, we're just live. Welcome to Weavesday Wednesday. We'll just start the fun music all over again. And Wednesday, October 1st already. Very strange. See? The ghosts are here for Halloween. That was spooky. Okay, our show's on and it didn't start, but we're live. Happy Halloween, folks. Well, if you look at the SummerWeedsHealthCenter.com, if you look at their little website there in the radio section, you'll see why. I think the ghosts are here. I think there's some ghosts here. Anyway, yeah, they're getting ready for Halloween. Welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, everybody. It is October 1st, 2014. And it's just us today. We're hanging out, we're having a show, and we're hoping you're going to be coming along with us for the ride with all the ghosts and goodies. So, welcome to Weedsday Wednesday. Lots of news going on. If you check out tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and click on their news section, you'll see some good news about. Welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar,
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call, 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, or tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors for Weedsday Wednesday are Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, EasyMarijuana.com, and Culture Magazine.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week, along with the lowest price certifications in town. You'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things educational related to medical cannabis.
Visit Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com.
And remember,
be smart, be safe, and educate.
Welcome again to Weedsday Wednesday.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. We've been having some ghostly, ghouly interruptions this morning already. But I was telling the folks out there that are listening to check out tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, because if you go to, well, if you go to the radio link, you'll see why. Look at that. Happy Halloween.
You are so...
Hey.
Sometimes, Belle, you're very cheesy.
I'm very cheesy.
Happy Halloween.
Well, hey.
Please go to it so you guys can laugh.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you can laugh at that because she likes stuff like this. It's what makes life fun. It's the 7-year-old in me going, let's play. You should see the shirt I wore today.
It's Halloween.
Which no one noticed. No one noticed this shirt. Cannabis Kid, what does it say? Can you read this? It says,
I limit myself to one joint a day.
Right now.
Right now, I'm 5 months ahead.
Woo.
That is a cute one.
That is a cute one. All right, well, welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, everybody, for real this time. Oh, my goodness. We'll let the ghost go with the show. I was just about to read some exciting news.
Yeah?
You want to know what it was?
What did you find out?
Well, I don't know. I was checking out azmarijuana.com.
That's right, man.
Were you? All right. And it says here something about our Governor Jan Brewer is softening her position on medical marijuana.
She's softening.
She's
I like how they use that word, softening.
Softening. Governor Jan Brewer is softening her position on medical marijuana, as well as the right for terminally ill patients to choose to use drugs that are not approved by the Food and Drug Administration, FDA. Brewer's newly found empathetic stance for people with debilitating medical conditions has her changing her views towards the 2010 Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, which allows patients with certain medical conditions to get a doctor's recommendation to obtain marijuana from dispensaries for medical purpose. I've been reading a lot about it, marijuana research studies, she stated, and it certainly looks like it probably does help people. When asked about Proposition 303, the right to use measure, Brewer stated, I think that if someone is facing life or death, they should be able to make that choice, and if they're willing to take that risk, they ought to be able to do it. Proposition 303 would allow drug companies to make available drugs and or medical devices that are not yet approved by the FDA for people with a terminal illness. It would also protect doctors from being disciplined by regulatory boards because they agreed to prescribe a non-approved drug to a patient. Very interesting, but I wonder if someone, maybe herself or her family, isn't affected by something now and she's doing more research because of it, because she's saying that, I don't know, I don't agree with you have to be, you know, on your deathbed to use.
And I also don't agree
that you want to use. What?
You're taking a risk, that when she said that. Yeah,
well,
that statement's pretty strong, that you're...
You take a risk when you walk out of your bedroom in the morning.
You take a risk when you're taking some of those other prescription medications.
Being on Earth is a risk. Yeah.
I mean, let's talk about how many risks that those prescription meds are putting out there towards the people of America.
Yeah, that's just bad risk.
The risk that you're going to be taking with this is you might feel good and go to sleep for a little bit.
Well, you want to know what? Attorney General Eric Holder appears to be more open to marijuana. As Attorney General Eric Holder prepares to resign from his post, he appears to be more open than ever towards the rescheduling of marijuana as a less dangerous, more beneficial substance. In an interview, Holder stated, I think it's certainly a question we need to ask ourselves, whether or not marijuana is as serious a drug as heroin, especially given what we've seen recently with regard to heroin, the progression of people from using opioids to heroin use, the spread and destruction that heroin has perpetrated all around our country, and to see by contrast what the impact of marijuana use is. Now, it can be destructive if used in certain ways, but the question of whether or not they should be in the same category is something that we need to ask ourselves and use science as the basis for making that determination. Holder also stated that the Obama administration would be more than glad to work with Congress to re-examine how marijuana is scheduled. In April, he said he's cautiously optimistic about the historic marijuana legalization movements in Colorado and Washington were working out. The Obama administration, along with the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA, and a few U.S. attorneys, raided hundreds of marijuana dispensaries that were compliant with state law. But it was Holder in 2013 who announced that the Department of Justice would let Colorado and Washington implement their new marijuana legalization law. Under the Controlled Substances Act, marijuana is classified as a Schedule I substance, as is LSD and heroin. According to the DEA, Schedule I substances have a high potential for abuse and no currently accepted medical use. Yet, science has clearly indicated otherwise by proving that marijuana does help provide relief from a multitude of health ailments. Yes, it does.
It does.
And did you know that our government has scheduled cocaine in a lesser harmful category than marijuana?
Yeah.
Just an FYI out there, kids. That's wrong.
I don't know anyone who uses LSD every day.
Or cocaine. Or heroin. I know Lord sings about it. Shame on her for making a phone call about heroin.
But I do know Lord, there are people out there that are using heroin probably every day.
Well, you know, I'm sure there are. They're all
LSD
over the place.
LSD seems like one of those ones that you might want to plan on that.
Well, that
you
could
know,
probably
like on a weekend or if you're at a rave or something.
Days.
Yeah. Well, Warren Buffett invests in the marijuana industry. Warren Buffett, the man who made billions from soda and candy, is now shifting his keen investment eye into the marijuana industry. I'm right there.
No, you're good, you're good.
Okay.
Testing.
Cubic Designs Incorporated, a subsidiary of Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, is a business which optimizes warehouse floor space. The recently delivered roughly 1,000 flyers to marijuana dispensaries over the last month, hoping to catch the attention of cultivators looking to maximize their growth space. The filters read, the flyers read in a large lettering, double your growth space and grow your profits. Shannon Sarkret, Cubic Designs Incorporated Marketing Coordinator, realized that the potential business opportunity after being contacted by a number of marijuana growers looking for information, retail cultivation space has become sparse in places like Denver and Seattle, where growers are hoping to maximize their yield, which in turn has caused landlords to raise rent. The hardest part of the Cubic design has been trying to locate the actual growers, since they don't initially advertise their names or whereabouts. Sarkret said, "The one thing with the industry that's kind of tough is that it's somewhat still secretive." Buffett amassed his fortune through acquiring large stakes in companies like Coca-Cola and Dairy Queen when the time was right. It only makes sense that he would get into this thriving legal marijuana industry as it's beginning to develop.
That's true. He's in everything.
It's a smart thing to get in there.
It is.
He knows what America likes, that's for sure. They like soda and candy.
All sorts of cannabis you can get into.
They like cannabis.
That's right. When you play your little Oregon Trail game, they tell you you have to give your folks along the trail some candy and goodies to keep their spirits up. Otherwise, they're just not going to get 2,000-3,000 miles across this country.
Where did Oregon Trail come from?
He invests in things that make us feel
good. Oh, okay.
Soda, candy, tobacco,
right.
Things that lift our spirits as Americans.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
See where I'm going here?
Lifting spirits along a...
Wow, skunk number one's really good.
I haven't even had
that. I am. You better get on that train.
I wanted to talk about Oregon Trail.
Where's our train noise? Come on. Choo-choo. Oh, I got a toilet faster. Never mind. All right. Well, Warren Buffett. Yeah, there are a lot of sides of cannabis that you can get your little hands on if you want to invest. There's all sorts of investments out there. But I hear the penny investments are not such a good thing to get into. A lot of people are saying, investors say don't do the penny thing, but I don't know. I'm not the stock person. I'm the
people that make money on the little penny thing.
Yeah, penny. Just kidding. Guess what? Teen marijuana use is down. Although marijuana legalization is quickly gaining momentum in the United States, statistics from the 2013 National Survey on Drug Use and Health reveal that teens between the age of 12 and 17 are using less marijuana than they were a decade ago. I didn't know teens between 12 and 17 were using it a decade ago. I'm just kind of naive like that. I wasn't using it between 12 and 17.
I was
people
using
like
it between 12 and 17.
I bet. Yeah. No,
you look like someone who's using it between 12 and 17.
My mom warned me about you.
There's some kids like you out there.
You're still here. Mm-hmm. According to, now you're influencing them. Oh my goodness. According to the statistics, teen alcohol and tobacco consumption has declined as well. This might signify a healthy lifestyle shift by our society. The survey also noted that teenagers are finding it more challenging to get a hold of marijuana than a decade ago. This can lead to the conclusion. I know why.
I know why,
because
too.
It's so much better. They're like hiding it. You can't find your stuff anymore. Oh, no, that's not it? All right.
Only on Oregon trips.
That's it. This can lead to the conclusion that legalization of marijuana, medicinal, and recreational use made marijuana less available to teens. It's also likely that the legal and regulated marijuana industries, whether medicinal or recreational, are diminishing the marijuana black market, leading to less marijuana being distributed on city streets.
When it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's really bad. So this is what I'm saying. There are more dispensaries, so more people are less likely to be selling the crappy stuff that is coming across the border.
They're less likely to be buying it.
Less likely to be buying it, but also the dealers are less likely to be selling that now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure, yep.
And I think with more people being kind of aware what's out there, so it's not as much out on the streets.
Yeah. Well, and people just don't have to go there anymore.
No, they don't have to go there anymore.
There's a whole other option. I think people just aren't. Sure, there's a ton of people that still have their buddies.
And what did you say about hiding it? You think because it's so good that more people, like more adults, are hiding it, the kids aren't finding it?
Yeah, I'm saying their stash is worth so much more now. Like, back in the day, your stash was half seeds and stems. And you picked that out first anyway.
I'm not going to lie on that one.
Yeah, and so now if you find a seed, you're like, oh my gosh, let's plant it. The one seed. Oh, that's a
golden
egg.
I found two last night
and
got really excited.
Two, see? And in fact, like, there we go. It's a whole different world out
there
now.
It is.
It is. Ah, yes.
It's all about the quantity of the seeds.
Well, quality.
Quality and quantity all fall apart.
This is true. You don't want
small quantity.
More
quality.
Oh, it's like a Buddha thing. Small quantity, more quality. Ah, Buddha, smoke marijuana.
It almost sounds like a mattress company.
Well, hey, don't get us going on this can of fiber stuff.
Mm-mm.
It's all the rage out there. Hemp, like building blocks and
building your house with hemp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Making guitars out of hemp.
Making guitars out of hemp.
Yep, hemp fiber. Let's see what the world has to say about hemp
fiber. So marijuana businesses make political contributions.
What?
Let me make this a little bit bigger.
Well, let's see it. Wow. There you go. In the Senate.
There's a little picture of the Senate. It says U.S. marijuana industry businesses are now profitable enough to become major political donors that support marijuana-friendly candidates and ballot questions. Congress members who once politely returned the marijuana industry business contribution checks are now keeping them. Some new marijuana businesses political activists include fancy fundraisers at Four Seasons hotels and art auctions hosted by law firms. We are developing an industry here from the ground up. If we don't contribute politically and get out there with the candidates, we can't help shape what happens, said Patrick McMahon of the CannaSure Insurance Services, which provides insurance coverage to marijuana cultivation centers and dispensaries. Medical marijuana business have been given contributions to candidates since the late 1990s, but the start of the recreational marijuana in Colorado and Washington, the industry and its political clout are expanding quickly. Marijuana is currently legal for medical or recreation use in 23 states, and Washington, D.C., new marijuana measures will be on the November ballot in Alaska, Florida, Oregon, and Washington, D.C. Many contributions are being funneled at these upcoming campaigns and the candidates that support them. The Marijuana Policy Project, MPP, is one of the largest marijuana advocacy contributors and is expected to donate around $150,000 to the federal candidates in 2014, up from $110,000 in 2013. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, NORML, and the Drug Policy Alliance also contribute directly to the federal federal candidates and tax-exempt marijuana industries groups such as the National Cannabis Industry Association can contribute an unlimited amount to untraceable money. Wow. Let me read that again.
Mm-hmm.
And tax-exempt marijuana industries groups such as the National Cannabis Industry Association contribute an unlimited amount of untraceable money.
What are you reading?
Right here.
Huh. Wow. Well, of course they can. It's giving away money that's just in that flux of not ever being accounted for.
Well,
it's
and
out
is,
there, and then it just goes.
It's the game you have to play in our country.
Private hands.
If you want to get in and start people talking about you, you have to write those checks out to get in. And
or you have to give away your unnumbered, unsequential $1 bills. So that's the government. Well, booming industry, and it's going to get everywhere. It's getting everywhere.
Well, people are realizing that there's so much money to be made on it. You know, it's.
I bet they secretly have been. I bet all these years that it hasn't been legal, there have been organizations and companies getting ready to just launch it. when it comes. Because D.C.'s getting ready to legalize it.
Right.
Hello?
And our state
why don't we follow suit with, but if our nation's very own capital is doing
our
stuff.
Our state capital is.
I hate to do as I say, not as I do, dad kind of attitude. Like, come on, that's really ridiculous.
Well, and then you've got the Bible Belt states, you know, which are going to be, you know, very, unless we can, there's got to be a lot of education about, you know, a lot of tobacco is grown in those parts.
Well, in states like Kentucky,
so
stuff
maybe,
like
maybe
there, like in all the hemp stuff.
More
you know?
Education that our forefathers grew it, and it was, you know, brought on by the government for a time of, let's get ourselves out of this place.
We need to bust into their diaries, I think. I'm not saying. Get you the Smithsonian.
George Washington. Today was really my day.
Yeah. I went out to my hemp field. I just sat there with it. We laughed. We cried. We became part of each other. It was happy hemp day. Love, George. Jorge. You know, his neighbors call him. Oh, we the one. If you're just tuning into the program, a live cannabis radio show.
You're with Bellstar.
And the Cannabis Kid. And Tech Guy. And our Silver Sister. We'll come up with some funny names. October 1st. Happy Halloween, folks. It's coming. Get your pumpkins out and start carving those pot leaves into your pumpkins.
So funny that happened. Last night got so cool.
What happened?
It was
I know.
Chilly last night. And then I woke
someone
up this
turned
morning.
On fall.
Do you know it's 49 degrees? It's 39 degrees up in Mount Lemmon.
I was walking
morning.
The dogs at 61 degrees. Woo, I was a little chilly.
Yep. I had to roll up my window.
Okay,
I just drove with no AC with my window up.
Same.
I have a seat heater on.
That's a good one, Tech Guy.
Tech Guy put a sweatshirt on. That was him rolling his windows up. Sweatshirt. Back in the day. Oh, goodness. Yeah, somebody rolled fall into Tucson.
Yeah, you can definitely feel it this morning. That's
the lawn
for
frosty was nice, actually.
We've been waiting. Ah, but you know what it's going to be? It's going to be 92 today.
A crisp 92.
We're just like, but it's going to be a cool 92.
Oh, yeah?
94 tomorrow.
94 tomorrow. It's going to be cool 94 tomorrow.
Cool 94. You like it.
95 the day after.
We're going to be.
But the hundreds are gone. Yay!
Yay.
The hundreds are gone. You like that. I know. We made it. We made it. Let's hope
I hope the hundreds are gone. Sometimes it surprises you in October.
Yeah, they'll be like, you'd be like waiting
there's been a couple events that have happened in October and you're like, what's going on?
What is going on?
Oh, Phoenix gets really bad.
It does. You know, our Steve Burke just did a new video. You want to see if you can pull that video up? See if we can pull the video up. But we're going to read Florida medical marijuana campaign launches its first TV ad. Election Day 2014 is right around the corner, and there are several marijuana reform efforts that will go before voters. One of those is Amendment 2 in Florida, which would legalize medical marijuana. The for and against campaigns have been spending enormous sums of money trying to sway voters. The Amendment 2 campaign, United for Care, has launched its first TV ad, with polls showing the initiative winning sometimes by a small margin and losing by a small margin other times. This is very important. You can see the video below. And actually, if you go to the Weed blog, it's one of their first news stories. You can actually see it. And the guy that did Pot Shop, the Macklemore parody about dispensaries and such, did a video for legalizing vote on number two. So you can check that out. I don't know. I'm a little nervous to play it. Maybe we should just try it. Maybe we should hit the play button and see what happens. I'll turn the speakers down for a moment because I'm sure there's probably going to be like a... Oh, wait.
Allow doctors to recommend the medicine.
Here we go.
They feel
I'm going to start over.
Pain. Voting yes on 2 will allow doctors to recommend the medicine they feel will ease the pain and suffering of thousands of sick Floridians. Yes on 2 allows medical marijuana use under the strict supervision of a doctor, only for debilitating conditions and diseases such as cancer and MS. 23 states now keep government and politicians out of the doctor-patient relationship, and it's worked. Vote yes on 2 and trust our doctors to do what's best.
Wow, that was a good commercial. I don't know how well you heard it, but you should check it out. That's nice. And it's a nice commercial. It was very well made. you know, less than 30 seconds or whatever. Yeah, it's a 30-second video. It's as long as Americans can keep interest. But once they hear the word marijuana and they see all the pain relief in this little thing, this little video.
I'm having a hard time over
here. It's on our Facebook page, actually. Yeah. Somewhere
that's
on there.
Where I'm at.
I posted it. Yeah, that's where you're at.
All right.
But this was a fun. This is funny. So the guy that did the pot shop parody, which, you know, of course, we always love to play, did one on Greece. And he did it for Florida's vote to legalize marijuana, vote on two. We'll see if we can throw that one up. We can't find that either. Oh, Steve Burke, where are you? Well, I know. See, this is why I don't like Facebook. There's a cat with a leaf.
So
I don't
much.
Know.
Yeah.
That's what I just saw. A little white kitty cat with a pot leaf. And we're looking for tech guy. Any he's like, forget this. You guys are crazy.
Give up.
I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why I'm
walked.
Here.
He just walked
every
out.
Wednesday. I don't get paid for it. And I'm not really
come
sure.
Back. Come back.
We're here for the entertainment.
Yeah.
There is a lot of that.
Yeah, a lot of it. And there's some news. There's some news, too. Oh, here we go. I found it. Well, let's see if we can get the whole... they're not going to do the whole thing. This isn't the whole video. Yeah. But this isn't...
Skip.
Yeah.
Right now. You can skip it.
I know, but that's not the... I don't think this is it. No, I don't think this is it. We'll find it, though. Oh, it is. Here we go. Okay, we'll see if you can hear this.
My back is killing me. Have you seen a doctor? I've seen doctors. I've seen back specialists. Nothing helps. Whoa. Have you seen her? Mary Jane?
With a vaporizer.
Jesus.
Tell me about it.
All right.
Dad.
Look.
Okay, this is all done to the... Oh, that was it. That's all we get. They're going to cut us off. I knew it. Where is our Facebook page? Anyway, if you like Grease, one of my besties is a fan of Grease. It's a parody done to the Grease 2. We're out. He meets Olivia for the, you know, in her little hot black suit for the first time and flips out. It's a really good one. We'll find it. Anyway, you know what we always do have, though? We love this song. We could do it up right now.
Tough.
My house, like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cotton mouth has been creeping up. I can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
What you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it. They need it. It helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon, is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. they'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealthy? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a run, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
Woo! Welcome back to Weed Day Wednesday, everybody. October 1st. And we're on. Oh, who's got the pickle? All right, 2014 already. Holy cow, I can't believe Christmas is around the corner.
So, do you want to tell them what kind of happened while we were...
What happened?
We couldn't find that video.
Oh!
How strange it was.
Yeah, that's really bad. So, we just went to look for our video, the Grease parody, and it has been pulled off the internet everywhere. Because Chapel has probably filed a claim of copyright infringement, I'm sure. This is awesome. Dang it. I know someone. Someone videos a video. They have to have.
Well, you know who we should have on?
Steve.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're going to have him back.
He needs to lay down.
He needs to just spill it. Spill the gut. Spill your gut,
buddy. We ask the hard questions.
We do ask the hard questions, like what strain are you smoking? What are you on? Are you a patient? What's your favorite
color? Definitely get them.
If you were an animal, what would you be? That was one of our recent interview questions. If you were an animal, what would you be? Yeah, someone said Mexican gray wolf.
Huh.
We're like, wow, not a wolf. They just got really super specific. Good one. What would you be?
Me?
I hear a rattlesnake. Oh my goodness. Someone is going to be a rattlesnake. This is why I hate these stupid advertisements. What's going on?
Pop-up central.
It is pop-up central. Even on my Mac these days, that's really bad. I was going to read about the hemp festival in Colorado, but the pop-ups are crazy. Let's see if we can't get rid of that somehow.
Well, while we're talking about Colorado,
yes.
Colorado recreational marijuana sales surpassed medical marijuana. Recreational. We knew that was going
to happen. Oh, sorry
for your sake. Come on,
people. Wake up.
Colorado has reported that sales of recreational marijuana for the month of July surpassed medical marijuana sales, marking the first time that this has happened in the 9 months since recreational marijuana was legalized. According to the Colorado Department of Revenue, customers bought $29.7 million worth of recreational marijuana, while medical marijuana sales came in at $28.9 million. Since retail sales first began, dispensaries have sold roughly 145 million of marijuana.
I love it.
I know, it's just crazy. When combined, the medical marijuana sales that the state of Colorado has sold are a staggering 350 million worth of marijuana since January 2014. Over 55% of residents support Colorado's recreational marijuana business.
Of course they do. Look what they're making.
Look how that's going to make their city run and work so much better.
And look at all the fun folks hanging out in the country.
Aww. This is the that Breckenridge fun. Cannabis Club.
Wow, I want to go.
And they're standing out in the snow.
It doesn't even matter.
Nope.
It doesn't even matter.
Because they're warm inside already.
They came warm inside.
They came warm inside.
They came warm inside.
Or they had a now and later.
Or a gummy bear. Or a DVD. Or...
They're all smiling, though.
They are. They look very happy, relaxed, and calm and peaceful. I don't know about it. I don't know. Hemp Festival celebrates its first crop.
Yay!
And looky, there's our buddy Doug Fine. Colorado Hemp Project Hemp Festival in Sterling Sunday was attention-getting from the moment of arrival. Sheriff deputies helped guide traffic across the highway and into the entrance. After reaching the festival site, a skateboard ramp immediately drew the eye, as did the stage on the north end of the field where the band was performing live. It wasn't just the sights that caught the senses. There was also a buzzing sort of hum from a drone capturing images of the event, and the scent of cannabis of the cannabis crop crowd, they were there to celebrate. In addition to the live entertainment, there were featured speakers with ties to the industry. Nolan Kane, a professor at the University of Colorado, shared information about the genome sequencing research he is involved in. He said that although the cannabis plant has been used for thousands of years and was independently domesticated, we don't know much of the plant. Kane believes his work, which is exploring the genetic differences in the varieties of cannabis, which both hemp and marijuana come from, will help standardize production and be valuable to farmers looking for ways to modernize the crop. Other speakers addressed what's happening across the U.S. and the world in the hemp industry. Doug Fine is a good friend of ours, and he's got a new book on hemp out, as well as Too High to Fail and all sorts of other ones.
So they were talking about hemp being started to be grown back in the United States again. They were also saying how it's actually going because that we water now, because
it's not
it floods in the way that you irrigate cannabis, and hemp is a lot different than the way that you do other plants. So, like
a lot
soy and corn, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was the runoff. The way that the runoff is going to be controlled, you're not going to be losing as much water. So it was going to save a lot of different areas from flooding and stuff.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It actually would start helping out. And they also say planting hemp and cannabis actually cleans the,
yes, the toxins.
The toxins out of different areas.
The nuclear toxins.
Mm-hmm. So these things where fracking is happening, you know, could be good areas to try this out at.
Fracking.
Bad stuff. I'm not going to
see. But it is fracking.
That's when they go in and they shake the earth in a different way and get the natural gases to come up.
Oh.
And so they, am I right? No, not at all.
Pump water. Pump water and it
breaks open.
Breaks open all the rock.
Oh, it breaks earth open and it releases the gases.
And the way they do it, it harms all the natural water around there, which everyone's water then becomes poison.
Cracked.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, good. And there's our bit on fracking. Don't do it. There should be a song.
Plant your plants.
Plant your hemp plants, kids. Oregon racial justice groups end marijuana prohibition, they say. People of color in Oregon are 100% more likely to face legal punishments for marijuana than white people. Despite equal rates of use, the current system is failing, and the following groups today are endorsing Measure 91 because it removes unfairly harsh punishments that disrupt lives. The new groups to endorse Measure 91 are the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, APANO, which has worked for social justice for more than 15 years and continues to evolve as Oregon's leading Asian and Pacific Islander grassroots advocacy organization. Wow, that's interesting.
Well, that's good. I like that more organizations are just popping up. And
Partnership for Safety and Justice. They work to reform the criminal justice system and achieve a more balanced approach to public safety. They join the ACLU of Oregon and the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association as other criminal justice organizations are endorsing Measure 91. Western State Center, which has worked for 27 years on community organizations to challenge and transform individuals, organizations, and systems to achieve racial, gender, and economic justice.
Hmm.
The Rural Oregon Project, which represents tens of thousands of Oregonians in small towns and rural communities in all 36 of Oregon's counties. Too many people have been punished, and too many of them have been youth and people of color, said the Partnership for Safety and Justice in a statement. Too many tax dollars have been wasted without increasing public safety. Too many public resources have been diverted that could have been used to help crime victims and address unmet community needs across Oregon. We believe that it's time to start addressing marijuana realistically as a health, education, and economic issue. Measure 91 would do just that. Every day, the encompassing list of marijuana embracing Measure 91 as a better approach to marijuana regulation is growing. They represent hundreds of thousands of Oregonians with a wide range of concerns. Measure 91 will regulate, legalize, and tax marijuana for adults 21 and over in Oregon. Revenue raised from a regulated market will fund schools, state and local law enforcement, and drug treatment and prevention programs.
That's so great.
That is great. That's really great. Measure 91 in Oregon, so get out there. That's just, and what'd they say? D.C., California, Alaska, and Oregon? Those are the four that are going to vote to legalize in November. For sure.
Wow. So you said Florida, right?
Yeah. Florida, Washington, California, Alaska. Right? That's what I think. D.C. Washington, D.C. Yeah, D.C. So, D.C., Florida, California, Oregon. Well, we'll rewind the tape a few years ago now. Oh, my goodness.
Play it back.
Did you read that about New York? Cuomo asked the feds to allow New York to get medical marijuana from other states. Friday, the Cuomo administration sent a letter to Deputy Attorney General Cole, following up on an earlier letter to the U.S. Attorney General sent on August 13, 2014. Both letters asked the Department of Justice, the DOJ, to extend a narrow, time-limited exception to federal law to allow the importation of certain strains of medical marijuana from other states for use by children in New York with several with severe forms of epilepsy. The letters follow the deaths of several children and a sustained campaign by advocates pressuring Cuomo administration to create an interim emergency access program for patients who may not survive the 18 months or longer that the governor has said it needs to get the full medical marijuana program up and running. New York passed a medical marijuana bill that Governor Cuomo signed into law in July, but the administration said the program won't be up and running until at least January of 2016. To establish emergency access for patients in need, medical marijuana can be produced within the state or with the appropriate federal clearances acquired from a different jurisdiction. The Cuomo administration letters address one of these two topics. We are glad to see that the governor has engaged DOJ about the need to establish an interim emergency access program for those who cannot afford to wait for full implementation to occur. Now we need the governor to move forward on other avenues that might also help get medicine to those who need it. The governor has a moral obligation to try absolutely everything in his power to prevent New Yorkers from needlessly suffering, said Kate Hintz from Westchester, parent of a child who has a severe seizure disorder. The administration is asking the Department of Justice to allow the state to identify one or more producers from a jurisdiction that allows for the legal production of a strain of medical marijuana that is high in cannabidiol, CBD, which has shown promise in reducing seizures in children with severe forms of epilepsy. Once a producer is identified, the state would import the medicine into New York and make it available to a small group of patients until New York's program is fully operational. Federal law prohibits the transport of marijuana across state lines, and thus the Cuomo administration is seeking permission from the DOJ. In many ways, the issue points out that the absurdity of our federal marijuana laws, said Christine Emerson of Rochester, a nurse practitioner and mother of a child with severe epilepsy. I hope they allow New York to import medicine from other jurisdictions, but the Cuomo administration also must move quickly to get a producer up and running in New York. That shouldn't be too hard to find. Advocates noted that action on the federal level is a long shot, and that there are things that the governor has the authority to do himself to create an emergency access program right away. For instance, he could fast-track one or more producers in New York to begin growing medicine as soon as possible. Some private companies have submitted proposals to the administration saying that they could make medicine available to New Yorkers within 90 days. That's true. Advocates also note that if the governor believes that law doesn't allow for emergency access, he should call a special session of the legislature immediately to amend the bill and reinsert language that he removed during the final bill rights negotiations last June. Missy Miller of Atlantic Beach said, "My son Oliver, who has severe seizures from a brainstem injury, cannot wait much longer to get the medicine he needs. We asked Governor Cuomo to try a number of things to create emergency access program after he removed language from the bill that would do just that. While reaching out is a meaningful first step, there are other additional steps he can and should take to get Oliver and other critically ill children the medicine they need as soon as possible. He needs to realize that every day that passes, we lose more of Oliver to the seizures. Additionally, if the grant wave state legislation action will still likely be required. So in June, during the final negotiations around New York's medical marijuana law, the governor explicitly removed the provisions to allow for emergency access to medical marijuana. In its place, the final bill included a provision requiring that only those marijuana products produced in New York would be legal for patient use, and marijuana products from other states would be illegal. Thus, legislative action to fix the medical marijuana law may be needed should the DOJ grant the waiver so that patients can legally use marijuana under state law. Over the last 4 years, numerous governors around the country have petitioned the Department of Justice on a range of issues related to the medical use of marijuana, including a request to reschedule marijuana and a request to protect workers in state medical marijuana programs from federal prosecution. Such inquiries led to the two memos from Deputy Attorney General Cole in 2012 and 13, which clarified the stance of the Department of Justice on state medical marijuana programs. The letter by the Cuomo administration appears to be the first public request seeking a federal waiver for medical marijuana to be acquired from another U.S. state. The federal government, including the Obama administration, has not done enough to fix federal marijuana policy, although it has been widely acknowledged that marijuana prohibition has hurt patients across the country and been a primary driver of the failed war on drugs. Advocates who have asked the governor to take action about creating an emergency access program have also reached out to Senators Gillibrand and Schumer, asking them to do everything within their power to move the issue forward on behalf of critically ill New Yorkers. Many patients who face life-threatening or terminal illnesses need access to this medicine immediately. The 18-month implementation timeline is not realistic for patients like myself who do not have the luxury of time, said Beverly McLean, a stage 4 metastatic cancer patient. I've already passed the median survival time, so I'm living on borrowed time now. Lives are literally hanging in the balance. So we appreciate the Cuomo administration reaching out to the Department of Justice, says Gabriel Sahay, Managing Director of Policy and Campaigns at the Drug Policy Alliance. Federal action represents one of two pathways to provide emergency access to medical marijuana products for those patients who cannot wait another day for relief. The other path for emergency use is for the state to license a company to produce marijuana in New York on an interim basis until the full system comes online. Governor Cuomo should be moving forward on both options. To save lives, every option must be explored, and we cannot allow bureaucracy and politics to impede getting medicine into the hands that need it." That's absolutely right. That was the wrong one. I need to
know. That was the thing. I was wondering to know why it was taking so long for the thing to be fast-tracked, because I wonder what...
And they're right. Every nanosecond counts. I mean, this child is probably having hundreds of seizures a day. I'd like to see any one of these people have one seizure in a day and try and function.
Right.
You know, just one. These kids are having hundreds a day, and it's not fair to make them wait while people sit around in an office and have meetings and do whatever they want to do and go, meeting adjourned after 3 hours, nothing settled. And what? These kids are having seizures before, during, after their meetings, and nothing is still being taken care of.
You know, what's also hard is that there's other states around them that, you know, are approving, legalizing, you know, even using it for recreational purposes. And there's other states that aren't even budging on the whole.
Well, get it from Colorado and Washington,
mm-hmm.
the state Washington. If, you know, they're legal now. Our nation's capital has let them lead the way in legalization. And if New York needs meds, then go get them from a legal, quote,
mm-hmm.
state. You know, let them at least do that.
You know,
and
the next one on
that.
The list is Washington, D.C., our state's capital.
That's right. Well, and they're very correct. If someone said right now, go, flip that light on and grow plants, they could have medicine for people in 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
in 60 to 90 days. You know, the auto follows that they have strong medicine, stick them in a hydro system, and good life. The vitamins.
The science and everything is out there now.
Blow them up. Yep.
And it shouldn't even be a question anymore.
It shouldn't be a question, and there should not be a shortage of this. And there shouldn't be anyone waiting around to sign another petition saying, okay, you can grow it. If we can't get it from another state, grow it. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
Everyone has the means to grow it.
Well,
growing? I don't, but there's people out there who will step up. And
there's someone in New York right now. They're already growing.
What are we talking about?
They're already growing.
There's a weed fairy there, I thought.
The weed fairy?
Yeah, she like pins up stuff on the, I don't know if it's
stuff over at Tumbleweed Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. Come in the back. Get a certification here. Come on down. We're right by the Embassy Suite, just a little east of Target.
Mm-hmm.
There your main target there. Ha ha.
Call it the cave driving.
The cave. It's the cave. Come in the cave.
The business cave.
The canna cave.
Mm-hmm.
Come into the cannabis cave. Lots of information. And Tumbleweeds Health Center is actually going to be down at the 8th block this in 2 weeks.
October 12th.
October 12th. That's 11 days from now. So come on down. AZ for Normals meeting is the second Saturday. That's not this Saturday, folks. Don't do it.
And
don't go down.
It's down at Malcolm May Plaza.
What is, we went on to Ward 6,
oh,
AZ for Normal meeting. Well, you get with us, cannabis kids. It is not at the Yakima Plaza, the AZ for Normal meeting.
No, sorry.
The AIDS Walk is. Where are we? Who am I? Are you my mother? Let's go back to AIDS Walk. October 12th starts 7 in the morning for registration at the
Yakima Plaza.
Tell us.
Starts at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Give us a spiel.
Get there early. Sign up. If you haven't signed up already, you can go online.
What is AIDS Walk? Tell us what it's about.
Well, it's all to benefit the Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation. All the money stays here for programs and clients of the Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation. Yeah.
Excellent.
Oh.
So, October 12th, be down there.
October 12th.
Who else is going to be down there?
Tumbleweed Health Center will be down there.
AZ for Normal.
AZ for Normal.
Safe. Man, what did you smoke this morning? I could get anything out of you. I shoved my mouth full of coffee cake. I'm trying to get cannabis to take over for a second. It is not working. Oh, my God.
Sorry, folks.
Well, the Alaska Coalition of Parents formed in support of marijuana legalization. You want to read about it? There's something.
Mm.
Oh, boy. Go ahead. Good luck with that first name. Never mind. We'll read it here. The Alaska Dispatch reports that a group of more than 24 concerned parents. Did you hear that, folks? I love this. Concerned parents are reaching out for marijuana. This is fantastic. And they're in support of a coalition, Ballot Measure 2, the statewide initiative that is going on the ballot in November to regulate marijuana like alcohol. This is for Alaska. They believe that regulating marijuana like alcohol will be a more effective means of keeping it out of the hands of children. Noting that marijuana prohibition has failed to prevent teens from accessing marijuana, and illegal dealers are not limiting their sales to adults over 21.
The chair of parents for ballot measures, too, Kim Cole, an Anchorage high school teacher and mother of two teenage girls, made the following statement in a news release saying, "I am voting yes on ballot measure 2 because marijuana prohibition has failed miserably at preventing teens access to marijuana. Keeping marijuana in a legal market guarantees that sales will be entirely unregulated and those selling it will not ask for ID. It's time to control the sales of marijuana, and that's what we'll do. Arrest thousands of Alaskan adults has done nothing to keep marijuana out of the hands of teens. It's time for a more sensible approach. As high school teacher and mom, I feel that regulating marijuana like alcohol is critical to protecting the health and safety of Alaskan teens. Parents need to think critically about this issue because what we are doing now clearly isn't working. Marijuana is already here and Alaska is not going away. By passing ballot measure 2, we can make sure that it is regulated and that the market is managed by responsible business governed by strict regulations to protect our kids. Cole is the face of an online ad campaign launching today throughout the state that will educate parents and the benefits of regulating marijuana to keep it away from teens. Please support the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol by passing the message along to your friends and relatives.
We're going to have her on our radio show, Miss Kim Cole. We're going to get her. Kim Cole, are you listening? We want you on the show. I just have something to say about medicine getting into the hands of children. I'm really, really, really upset with all this. You know, everyone's mad that your marijuana looks like, you know, gummy bears, or it looks like this or that. Well, hello, are we not making gummy vitamins for adults now because they want to chew their vitamins in the shapes of gummy bears and little fruit forms? I have them in my refrigerator now. So you have to be a responsible adult. If your medicine is harmful, lock it up. Lock it up. This is not a game. And you can't say that it's the maker's fault for making something that looks harmful. Sugar's addicting. Sugar's harmful. You know, if you're a good parent, you don't let your child eat 4 pounds of Starburst in one sitting. Okay, maybe after Halloween, then they get sick and throw it up, so it's not really any good. But you know what I'm saying? You have to take responsibility for yourself. And if you've got medicine, if it's Vicodin, OxyContin, medical marijuana, lock it up. Whatever it is.
Whatever you're
about. Lock it up. And take responsibility, folks. Come on. It's, you know, we can't keep blaming everybody else for when something goes wrong. You lock your kid in the car for 10 hours and they die. It's not the kid's fault, you know? Oh, I hate stuff like that.
It's a responsibility.
It is a responsibility. So, there's my soapbox for the moment. Be responsible with your meds, for real, though. I mean, you can't just, you know, leave your gummy meds out and expect kids not to go after them. You know, they look good. They look fantastic.
Right.
What do you got there?
In a cannabis, cannabis-friendly landlord finalizes $4.6 million deal. One of the Arizona's largest real estate deals in 2014 has closed, and the property is specifically designed to attract medical marijuana tenants. The zoned properties and real estate company and landlord to marijuana businesses closed on a $4.6 million transaction to take ownership of a 5-acre multi-tenant light industrial park in Tempe, Arizona. Zoned property cited the increasing value of similar real estate in Denver as the reason for its interest in the deal. Properties such as a facility in Tempe have the capacity to garner less agreements for as such as 4 times the typical market value. The medical marijuana industry expands. The company is said to release. Still, the company seems to be approaching the deal with an eye towards the community involvement, which is a smart move in an industry where local opposition can quickly undermine the opportunities presented by marijuana businesses. In a press release, VP of the Operations and Chief Sustainability Officer Brian McLaren said that the facility will be managed with the utmost attention to detail and operational compliance, increasing the overall prosperity of the neighbor for our neighbors and the community. According to LoopNet, this deal represents the 6th largest commercial real estate transaction of the year in Arizona.
Awesome. Grow.
Yeah.
That's spectacular.
So that's pretty cool.
People are taking business advantages here.
Well, they're seeing, you know, 2016 is definitely a...
Oh, yeah. We're going to hit the streets running here. Well, let's see here. It is darn near time to end the show.
Hi, everyone.
Thanks, everybody, for coming to our crazy show this morning. Next week, we have a fun guest. We'll call him Hans. Not his real name. But he's going to come and he's going to talk about some opportunities for veterans to be involved in, we'll let him explain. There's going to be some opportunities for veterans maybe to get some free meds or very discounted meds in the near future. So, Hans, is going to be down here to explain that. We'd like to thank Culture Magazine, NazyMarijuana.com, Growers House, Blog Talk Radio, Studio C, and
Accurate
what? Accurate Med Testing. Speak up, cannabis kid. Can't
wondering.
Hear you over there. You're a little quiet this morning. No more skunk for you. That just threw you off track. Come down and get certified. 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. Lowest certifications in town, $85 first time, $65 renewals. And if you don't have records, don't worry about it. Come down here and we'll diagnose you. Check out tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. Email us with questions, thctucson@gmail.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Educate.